Lord God, to forgive each and every last one of us. You displayed your greatness and your love for each of us sinners. And Lord God, we thank you. And Lord, if there's something in our hearts that we have not confessed before you this morning, we're asking, Lord, that you confess it now while the blood is running warm in your vein. And we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time for the Second Union Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community, KAYT.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
And find yourself trapped in a pit of hopelessness. And while in a state of despair, we make foolish decisions that bring trouble you could not have imagined and leave you spiritually broken. And my brothers and sisters, that in a nutshell is the life of David up to this point. He was a man who was after God's own heart, on his way to be the king of Israel, but now he has become a fugitive on the run, hunted, hounded, and haunted. He's defeated, discouraged, and depressed. And so while in this condition, he makes a foolish decision that will produce some very serious consequences in his life, all because David decided to give up on God's plan for his life. In other words, David took his own life into his own hands and began to live for himself as he wanted to live. And my brothers and sisters, as I think about this stage of David's life, I see a portrait of many believers today. Because here David pictures people who have been saved by the grace of God, who began their walk with God very well. But somewhere along the line, things didn't go as they envisioned, and they became defeated, disillusioned, and discouraged. And in their weakened spiritual condition, they made a foolish decision that had terrible consequences in their lives. Because instead of staying close to the Lord and following his will for their life, they chose to walk away from God and live lives of carnality, a worldly life, and compromise. And so with your prayer this morning, I want to talk on the thought when smart people make foolish decisions. Using David's life to this point, to point out where we go wrong in decisions that we make in life, what we can expect when we make those decisions, and how we can pick up the pieces and move on with God. And so note, if you will, three observations from the text as we consider our subject again, when smart people make foolish decisions. Well, first of all, we see the reason for David's decision. We note again in chapter 27 and 1, it revealed that David's reason for his wrong decision is that he trusted the wrong confidant. Note David is pictured here as having a conversation with himself instead of turning to God in prayer as he has so often done. But now he turns to his own counsel. Yet the advice he received from himself is anything but wise. But David believed the wrong counsel because when he communed with his heart, he immediately forgot all the great promises that the Lord had made for him. For instance, God had promised that David would be king, according to 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, 12, and 13. And that promise had been confirmed by King Saul's son, Jonathan, in 1 Samuel 23 and 7, by Abigail, one of David's first wives, in 1 Samuel 25, 30 through 31, and even King Saul himself in 1 Samuel 24 and 20. And yet all these great promises are forgotten when David begins to listen to his own heart. Now, David thinks he knows what will happen in the future, but he should have known that God is a sovereign God who's in total control of all things past, present, and future. And that's why the psalmist declared in Psalm 135 and 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and earth and in the seas and all deep places. And so by believing the wrong counsel, David reached the wrong conclusion because he listened to his own heart. He chose to abandon the path that God had placed him on years before. And so David decided that he would be better off fleeing to the land of the Philistines, where he thought he would be safe from King Saul. But just imagine here that the king of Israel, or the future king of Israel, running to the archenemy of God to beg for help. That's what kind of trouble David's heart got him into. And all my brothers and sisters, we need to beware of trusting our own heart. Because when you consult your heart, you will get in touch with your human nature. Old human nature is fallen, and it always look at things from an earthly level. And when people say, well, I feel it in my heart, they're usually headed for trouble. And that's why the Bible cautions us to us against trusting in the heart, because the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not trust in your heart. Why is this? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because the Bible says, according to Jeremiah 17 and 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And they say, who can know it? And then Proverbs 28 and 26 say, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. And Jesus said, according to Mark 7, 21 through 22, he said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, vulgar deeds, stealing, murder, unfaithfulness in marriage, greed, meanness, deceit, indecency, envy, insult, pride, and foolishness. And so whenever someone says to you, just listen to what your heart is telling you, they have given you advice that can lead you to becoming a spiritual wreck if you are foolish enough to follow it. For instance, let me tell you what your heart will say to you. This church is dead. These people don't like you. God is being unfair to you. You'd be better off staying home, better off if you went to another church. The preacher is picking on you in the sermon. You're missing out on things. There's nothing wrong with living it up every now and then. And God doesn't even care about you. Well, if he cared about you, things wouldn't be happening to you as they are. Just once won't hurt. Just a little bit won't matter, and so on. And many of you here this morning and listen by way of radio know exactly what I'm talking about, because your heart has tricked you, deceived you, lied to you, and even led you down the wrong path of life. I tell you, if you listen to your heart, you'll find yourself where David found himself, and that is out of God's will, out of God's place for your life, and out of fellowship. If you listen to your heart, you'll find yourself living a spiritual compromise, and you will find yourself being a backslider on the outs with God. My brothers and sisters, David made wrong decisions because he listened to his heart, and it led him astray. And so, friends, I need to tell you, be careful. Listen to your heart, because if you listen to your heart, you're heading in the same direction. But not only do we see the reason for David's decision, but secondly, in chapter 27, and verse 2 through 30 and verse 6, we see the results of David's decision. Well, first, the first results we see in verse 2 and 3 is that the people and David's life were affected because of David's a foolish decision. Everyone whose life he touched was affected. All 600 of his men and their families, his wives and children, and everyone around David was brought down by his decision. All those people were brought into a place of compromise and temptation because one man listened to his heart instead of listening to God. Note the Bible said in Romans 14:7, for none of us lives to himself and no one dies to himself. Now that basically means that everything we do in our life touches those around us. When a husband or a wife steps out of the will of God, it affects the marriage. When one or both parents refuse to live by God's standard, it has an impact on their children. People at school, at work, at church are touched by the way we live our lives. My brothers and sisters, we need to know who's watching or who might be hindered when we give in to the advice of our heart and walk away from God. But remember, there's a price to be to pay for touching others in a negative manner. For we know that Jesus says in Luke 17:1-2, in plain and simple terms, he said there will always be something that causes people to sin. But anyone who causes them to sin is in for trouble. He said a person who causes even one of my little followers to sin would be better off thrown into the ocean with a heavy stone tied to their necks. But then in verse 5 through 12, it reveals the pattern of David's life was affected. Because not only did David's decision affect the people around him, but the way David lived his life was also altered. In other words, his decision to walk away from the Lord changed him completely. Look at some of the things the Bible reveals about that tragic time in the life of David. We note verse 4 revealed that David lived with a sense of false security. He thought he was safe. Verse 5, David thought sought help and ran with the wrong crowd. Verse 8 through 12, David did things that he never would have done before. He murdered, he lied, he submitted himself to the enemy of God. And here we see that the whole fabric of David's life was altered by the decision he made. We note that verse 7 revealed that David stayed with the Philistines for 16 months. Now I'm sure he was there longer than he intended to be. And also worthy to be noted is that no psalm was attributed to David during this period of his life. My brothers and sisters, it seemed as if the sweet singer of Israel had lost his voice. But let me say to us this morning that whenever a believer makes that fatal decision to walk away from the Lord and from the place of blessing, their life will be affected in a negative way. Like the prodigal son, they will live in a false sense of security. But the backslider, I need to tell you, is never out of the view of the Lord, nor is he or she too far away to avoid chastisement. For the Lord God says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. To put it simply, he says, I correct and punish everyone I love. So make up your minds to turn away from your sin. Because the one who walks away will find that they are soon doing things that they would never have done before. And that they are doing them with a crowd that they never would run with. Note 1 Corinthians 15:33 tells us, do not be deceived. It's an evil company corrupt good habits. Simply put, don't fool yourself. Bad friends will destroy you. Especially to our young people, be careful with the crowd you follow. And so young people, beware of that crowd you follow, and don't just do things, amen, just to be a part of the crowd. Because you'll find that your entire lifestyle will be changed, and you will be, you'll look around one day and find that months and even years have passed while you languished in a far country. You'll also find that your song of peace has departed and your joy has dried up. Because my brothers and sisters, I need to tell you, you cannot walk away from God and grow off into sin and not be affected. But now let me say, if walking away from the Lord does not alter your life, affect your life in any way, I would venture to say that you were not his to begin with. Because the Lord don't whoop other folk's children. He only chastised his own. But not only was the pattern of David's life affected, but also the peace of David's life was affected, because someone says sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And so, yes, Lord. And so here we're seeing the truth of that fleshed out in David's life, because chapter 29, 1 through 30 and 6, we see that David has fallen about as far as a man can fall. He's out of God's will, out of God's path, and actively working with the enemy against the people of God. But thankfully, David was not having a good time, because you see, not only did his sin affect the people in his life and the pattern of his life, but it also affected the peace in his life. Note what happened in chapter 29, verse 1 through 5. David lost his identity, and he united himself with the Philistines to go and do battle with against his own people, Israel. But even the Philistines don't want him around. He has become an offense to them as well. He's literally a man without a country. In verse 6 to 8, David revealed the depth to which he had fallen, because here we see the future king of Israel grovels at a pagan king's feet and declares himself to be the king's servant. He even said that the enemy of Achish are his enemies. And then in verse 9 through 11, David is declared to be a faithful servant of Achish. And then in verse chapter 30, verse 1 through 5, where we see that David finally reaped the harvest of the wickedness he has sown. Here we see that he loses far more than he could have imagined, because the Amalekites retaliate against David and his men for their early actions in chapter 27, 8 through 11. And they take their families captive and burn the city to the ground. And yet those pagans showed more grace and mercy than David, a man of God, had shown to his enemies. And so in chapter 30, verse 6, we see that David finally reaches the bottom. His men turn on him and threaten to kill him, because they realize that all these tragedies are the results of David's foolish decision. Notice sins have taken everything away from him. What a frightening portrait of the power and potential of sin in our lives. Because here we see that you may walk away from God and go your own way, but you will not go without paying a high price. And so let me ask somebody this morning, is the sin that you're about to walk away from God to commit worth the price that you're going to pay? Is it worth your spouse? Is it worth your children? Is it worth your good name? Is it worth your ministry? Is it worth your power with God? Is it worth your health? Is it worth your life? My brothers and sisters, before you make a foolish decision and walk away from the Lord, consider the price that you might have to pay. And so we have seen the reason for David's foolish decision and the results of David's foolish decision. But in spite of David's foolish decision, we read in chapter 30, verse 6 through 8, we get some good news, because thirdly, we see the recovery from David's decision. Now, my brothers and sisters, I thank God that the story doesn't end in David's downfall. I'm glad that we can get to witness David's recovery from his sin as well. Because in verse 6, we see David repenting before the Lord. Because he finally hit bottom, and when he has lost all that a man can lose, at long last, David looks toward heaven again. Perhaps he realized, as he looked at his broken and shattered lives all around him, that everything had happened as a result of one foolish decision on his part. And so David turns his gaze heavenward once again. He turns his gaze toward heaven in humble repentance. And according to verse 7, David relied on the Lord, which he should have done at the beginning of this episode in his life. David calls on the Lord in prayer to seek the God's help. And he's now back in the place where he can rely on the Lord once again. Because verse 8 and 9 revealed that David returned to the Lord. Because when David hears the Lord's direction for his life, he doesn't hesitate, but he goes out immediately to do what the Lord told him to do. He's not walking in David's will any longer, but he's back in God's will, walking God's path once again. David has been fully restored. And if you're here this morning out of God's will and you're walking your own path, you too can become fully restored today, just like David. And so as I try to move to the close, most of what we've learned this morning from David has been a lesson in what a person should not do. But in this passage, David clearly showed us what a person is supposed to do when we allow ourselves to walk away from God. And the first step to recovery is repentance, meaning we need to get before the Lord and deal honestly with our sins. Yeah. Note the proverb right and right in 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. My brothers and sisters, when sin is confessed and handled God's way, he will forgive that sin and he will restore a fallen saint, according to 1 John 1:9. Now that's a blessing, because there is no saint in the world who doesn't fall into sin from time to time. But the Bible says, 1 John 8:10, if we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. And then if we say we have not sin, we make him a lie and his word is not in us. And so if anyone has wandered away from God, you need to know that you can come home today and find forgiveness and restoration. Because did you notice the Lord's response to David when he came before him in prayer? Now remember, David had been out of God's will for 16 months. Yet when he falls on his knees and deals with his sin, no, God doesn't say, I'm sorry, David, but you crossed the line. I found someone new to be king. Nor did he say, I'm giving you 3 months probation. If you do all right, then we'll talk about restoration. Nor did he say, I'll forgive you, David, but things can never be the same between us again. No, but God does three things. When David calls out from the right spirit, the Lord instantly forgives, restores, and communicates with David. My brothers and sisters, God's answer is always swift, is always sure, and is always accurate. And what a blessing that is. And so in closing, is there an earthly price to pay for the sins we commit? Well, yes, because the Bible says in Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, but whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Put another way, you cannot fool God, so don't make a fool of yourself. You will harvest what you plant. But when God forgives, he forgives immediately, he forgives completely, and he forgives eternally. Somebody in this room may need to experience that kind of grace today, because regardless of how smart you may be, regardless how long you may have been saved, or regardless how high you climb the spiritual ladder, we are still capable of making foolish decisions. Some folk in this room are in the process of doing that very thing because you have been listening to your heart, and your heart is telling you lies. Well, I suggest to you this morning that you get to God and hear some truth before it's too late. While others have already begun the process of walking a path that's far different from the one God set your feet on when he first saved you. Well, I suggest to you to get back to the Lord before the price get higher than you want to pay. Still others are watching, watching your world just come apart, all because of some foolish decision you made along the way. But now some things may have to play out in our lives, but you can still have fellowship with the Lord and be restored today. There are probably some others who've never been saved. I need to tell you that you're heading for the rudest awakening of all. But this doesn't have to be, because Jesus said that his mission in the world was to seek and to save that which is lost. And that's why one Friday on a hill called Calvary, he died for the sins of the world. And after laying in the grave 3 days and three nights, he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Now he's sitting down on the right hand of the throne of God. He's calling this morning to every backslider, every lost person. I know there are some needs today, but who has the spiritual courage this morning to come into his presence and get taken care of right now this morning? Listen to his voice, if you will. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in me you find rest for your soul. Ain't God all right? Have you tried him this morning for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he forgive your sins and save your soul? Ain't God all right? I said he's all right. And the reason I know is because I tried him for myself. I made some foolish decisions in my life. I've even walked away from God. But when I fell on my knees and talked with the Lord, when I repented my sins, he just grabbed me up and brought me right back. And here I stand preaching his word. Here I stand encouraging his people. I know he's all right. If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes.
Yes.
Smart people making foolish decisions. I say to all of our young people, stay in school, do your best, be obedient to your parents, because foolish decisions can alter your future. Running with the wrong crowd can cause you to do some things that you know you're not supposed to do. Sometimes you want to belong, but you don't want to belong to the wrong crowd. You're being taught the right way. But just in case you slip off, just remember God is still waiting. He's waiting with open arms. I'm trying to hurry. He's waiting with open arms. He's ready to forgive you. He will forgive you. He will restore you.
Amen.
Parents, we got to make sure we walk right.
Amen.
Because not only is the world looking, but our children are looking. If you're only a Christian in church, but you're a hellion at home, be wise. Because children are watching. And they're going to be just like their parents.
Amen.
Make sure you're real. Make sure you lead them in the right path. Oh, my brothers and sisters, how bad it would be to know that you caused one of your children or some of your loved ones to miss God and go to hell. All right, well, I'm going to leave that alone. At this time, we extend the invitation. There may be somebody who'd like to get back right with God. Maybe you made a fool decision because you listened to your heart instead of listening, going to the Lord in prayer. But again, I say God is always waiting. He's always waiting with open arms. He's always saying, come to me, all you that labor. He tells us anybody who comes to him, he will in no wise turn you away.